thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Father, that blood that didn't just cover sin as the blood of bulls and goats and animals, but that blood that washed us white as snow, cleansed us so thoroughly that there's not even the evidence that sin had ever existed, paid a price for us that is eternal redemption, not just a one-time bought out of a problem, but eternally redeemed and purchased because of that blood. The most precious, the most valuable thing that's ever existed on this earth was shed for mankind. We thank you, Father, for placing value upon us so great that it has to be you that saves us. We give you praise and honor in this place, Father. We give you glory, give you glory, give you glory. Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. We give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we praise you, Father. We praise you, worship you. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. Well, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it seems that there's something over the years I've noticed that, and I heard others say it, but then I've noticed it in being in ministry, in being involved with worship, but then also in ministering the Word of God, that there's something about singing about and praising God for the blood of Jesus and singing about His blood and singing about the name of Jesus that causes God's presence, it seems, or the glory of God, if you will, just to be manifest in a greater degree than we have on just a regular basis. And God's presence does manifest in degrees as He chooses. But it's just a matter of, I've noticed that when we talk about the blood and we talk about the name of Jesus, there's a manifestation of the presence and the power of God. Hallelujah. And in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. There's no sickness nor disease that can stand in the presence of God. There's no depression or anxiety that has any life in the presence of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that presence. I know I was thinking about the presence of God many years ago, and at the time I was a worship leader and just grabbed my guitar and was just playing some chords and just began to sing as the Spirit led me. And I remember, and I didn't plan on this, but just wrote a small little chorus. You know, sometimes the Bible says in Ephesians 5 that we should sing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. One of the great ways to encourage yourself in the Lord is to sing, amen, by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And as I was playing that day, this little tune came out. Nothing less than the presence of God. That's all I long for. Nothing less than the presence of God. I'll take Jesus or nothing at all. You know, that was just by the Spirit of God, you know. And now you may not be able to sing. I couldn't sing without God's help. Maybe you're in that joyful noise part of the choir. That's all right. Amen. But you know, he didn't say if you can sing, sing and make melody. He did said sing. So, you know, let the Lord give you things such as that. And hallelujah. One of the ways, I will tell you this, one of the ways to help develop that, especially, let me talk to you worship leaders a little bit, those of you that do sing, go to the book of Psalm and start singing those. You don't know what the tune to those are. You have no idea what David played on his harp when he sang it and he played it. Just begin singing. Just start singing those out. Those are prophetic in nature. Hallelujah. Boy, I didn't intend to get off on that, but praise the Lord. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. They asked me for a list of scriptures, and I've got two sections of scriptures, one here in Hebrews, one in Ephesians, and that may do us, and who knows? We'll see. Here in Ephesians 5, I want to pick up in verse 12. Now, in the context of what's happening here, the writer of Hebrews, who I believe is the Apostle Paul, but anyway, it's inspired of the Lord. That's the main thing, right? Has talking about how Jesus is our high priest. And that he's a high priest not after the Mosaic covenant or his brother Aaron. He's not a high priest in his line. But he's a high priest appointed by God, just like Melchizedek was appointed by God. He didn't have... Now, the Bible says having no father and mother, that doesn't mean he just appeared. It means he had no father or mother that qualified him as a part of the family to be a priest. All right? Sometimes people, If Jesus had to be born in this earth, you know Melchizedek did too, okay? So just so you understand that. But he's talking about that, and he said, some of these things are hard to understand, verse 11, I didn't plan on reading that, but he said, you can't understand it because you've become dull of hearing. Other places talks about being hard of heart. But picks up in verse 12 and says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. Everybody say first principles. Of the oracles of God, he said, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk or eats milk only is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Now, how many of you notice this about babies? I'm talking about newborns don't have a lot of skills. Right? I mean, you don't know. You have to wait and see about them, all right? And he says that's the same thing here with a babe in Christ. For strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, or those that are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, again, this wasn't written in chapter and verse. I want to read here in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles, there's that word again, principles. He talked about first principles. These are the elementary principles, if you will. You could call it the ABCs, if you want to. The beginning principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on. Everybody say, go on. Unto perfection. Now, we're not to stay. That doesn't mean we don't continue in and we don't keep those things, those first principles as our foundation. But we have to go on. All right? There for a while in school, the start of every school year as you're growing up, you went over the alphabet. But how many of you realize you find it? You may not have even noticed it. You may not have sat there and said, hey, aren't we going to do the alphabet? Why? You should have known the alphabet already by this time. You've gone on from that place. And we're not going to get into what these these foundational principles, these first principles are tonight. I want to talk about going on unto perfection. Now, the word perfection there is an interesting word. We like to perfect. Does that mean I'm going to be perfect, never make a mistake? No, the word perfection there means completeness. The state of being complete. Other places and other words that the root word of this word here in the original Greek language literally means to be fully grown, to be mature, all right, to have grown up. And so here he talks about that. In the things of God, and after you become a Christian, quite literally, we're new creatures in Christ. We are babes in Christ. Now, I say that because if you're not careful, there's some tendencies. And understand that, really spiritually speaking, concerning your spirit, you're born again. Your spirit's complete. I mean, what else is going to happen there? I mean, you're a new creature. You're born of God. But we're not just one part being. We have a body. How many of you have run into your body today? I mean, you found out you have a body. Some of you don't know you have a body. All right. Let me ask you that again, because everybody doesn't raise their hand. The person next to them gets to pinch them. All right. How many of you know you have a body? Look around now. Okay. See some pinch? I saw a pinch going on over there. All right. And we have a soul, which is connected to our spirit, but really our mind, our emotions, that part of our being, and probably the will resides there where we make decisions. And so where we can positionally be complete in Christ, there is a working out of our salvation, Paul said. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, meaning maximum effort and reverence for God. Working out what's happened on the inside. And so he says here, let's go on to perfection, leaving these first principles. Now, obviously, we need to know what the first principles are, right? That's not my message tonight. We could spend time, and actually, those six things there are, he says, they're fundamental. Every Christian. Now, here's the thing. If I ask you, can you name the first principles of the doctrine of Christ? My thought here is that probably the majority of people in here couldn't name them. And maybe we haven't done a great job of teaching those things, or maybe we haven't done a great job of studying on our own. You know, a little bird sits there like, feed me for only a short time of its life. After a while, it has to learn to hunt itself, right? And so you have to learn how to hunt the word yourself. Now, thank God to come and get a good meal. You know, it's good to go home every once in a while and get a good meal, right? Amen. You know what I'm saying? Not that you don't have good meals, but you know what I'm talking about. The meals you grew up with. You know, those things that, you know, you don't even remember. You don't even remember you used to like it until you ate it again. That type of thing. Okay? But he says, let's leave these principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. So, evidently, as far as God's concerned, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, inspiring the writer of Hebrews to tell us, as far as God's concerned, we are not to stay in the state of just being born again, staying in that place, but we are to go on from there, beyond just elementary principles and first principles of Christian life, we are to go on unto maturity or completeness, spirit, soul, and body. Now we know for the soul, Romans chapter 12 gives us a great hint there. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, that's part of your, how many of you know your emotions have to be renewed also? You know, emotions are given to us by God, but we are never to be led by our emotions. Emotions can be very powerful in our lives, but we are never to be controlled by our emotions. How many of you found this out, that your emotions change? Right? I mean, you could come to church all happy, and you know, your emotionally happiness is an emotion. It's not a spiritual force. Joy is a spiritual force. You can be joyful in the midst of adversity. But being happy, you know, you're all happy, and you get to church, and someone took your favorite parking place. Or they're sitting in your favorite seat. Or they didn't shake your hand like you thought they should have shaken your hand. Or whatever the case may be. But by the time church starts, even though you arrive to the church happy, you're not happy anymore. Your emotions, you see. So emotions are not a good motivator. And a mature person has learned to control their emotions. Back up there in the last verse of chapter 5, verse 14, he says, you have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He's talking about physical senses. He's saying, Christian, we ought to be able to see something and know that's either good or that's evil. We ought to be able to hear something. You know, you ought to be able to hear someone say something and know whether or not that's good as far as God's word is concerned. What does God's word say about that? You know, everything, and I tell students, I tell people all over the world, don't believe anything just because I said it. Because just because I said it, I'm a man, I can make a mistake. Okay? Don't believe it. You believe it because you see it in the Word of God. That is the truth. Right? And I know there's times I've gone through the Word of God just reading on my own and saw something that totally changed the way I thought about something. I thought I was right. Then I started looking at it and, well, wait a minute now. I can't be right and this be right too. So let's look at this. Let's look here. And by the time you look at all the scripture concerning it, you know, you have a better understanding. And what happened there? You grew up. You become more complete, more mature. Now, I found that out, and the mature person knows how to change quickly. And you know what? You know what that's called? When I saw something in the Word of God that changed the way I thought, that's called repent. What did I do? I repented of how I thought, and I embraced the truth I saw from God's Word. You know, some people, repentance is not, you know, flogging yourself on the back or doing all this, you know, doing quote-unquote penance. It's just changing your thinking, being renewed in your mind, all right? And so he says here, let's go on. And so tonight, I want to say to you, let's go on. Let's not stay where we are. Let's not be babies the rest of our life spiritually. Okay? You know, and it's okay to be, if that's where you are, you just got born again, well, you can't be anything else but a baby. I don't know what else you know. But it's time, all of us are then responsible to grow up. Now, God has given us some great gifts, if you will, to help us grow. Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 4. And here in beginning in verse 11 and reading down here, and he, that's speaking of Jesus, this is when Jesus rose again and was seated at the right hand of God, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now notice here verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, there's that word again, perfecting, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or the charging up or the building up, the equipping, if you will, of the body of Christ, for the perfecting, the equipping, so that, literally verse 12 saying, so that the saints can be complete or mature. And so he gave us these ministry gifts. What are these ministry gifts? They are men and women called of God, gifted of God, that stand in these various ministry functions. Now, sometimes, you know, we get ourselves in trouble because we're trying to make stars out of these ministry gifts when that's not the purpose that God placed them in the body of Christ for. They placed them in the body of Christ to help us grow, to help us be complete. That's why you'll never be complete and mature without being part of a local church somehow. You can't do it on your own. If you could, we wouldn't need these ministry gifts. Do you understand that? And then, you know, now let me just say this, because this comes up every once in a while. Every local church doesn't have an apostle in it. Let me say that again. Every local church doesn't have an apostle and a prophet. Hopefully they have a pastor. The shepherd of the sheep, right? That's what that local church is. It's a local sheep pen, if you will, where we keep these sheep are there. But we can partake of all these different. Now, here's the great thing about it. You know, people asking, you know, well, you know, I wish I could be around so-and-so that I can be. You know, in today's age, you can be mentored by anybody you want to be. All you got to do is read books. How many of you haven't thought about it, but how many of you could honestly say, I've been mentored by the Apostle Paul? Have you read his books? Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Amen. Philemon, Titus, Philemon. I think Hebrews. But when we read what Paul said, he's mentoring us. Well, the same thing's true today. You know, you can be mentored by Kenneth E. Hagin and never have ever heard him preach, ever seen him in person. But we have all this, thank God for all the electronics, the media that we have, and the books and the CDs and the DVDs. Praise God. Well, it doesn't mean anybody. You can find your answer out there. I remember there was a time, you know, I was, you know, there was a subject. I was saying, Lord, I need to know more about that. I've got to have some more. And so it was amazing as I asked, I said, Lord, help me find. It was amazing how things, you know, came by my attention, across my face, if you will. And I saw that had been out there all the time. I just didn't know about it. And it was exactly the answer that I needed. Some of it was books I needed to read. Others was listening to some sermon series by some other ministers, listening to those things. Sometimes he took me straight to the, you know, to the Word of God and saw some things there. But your answer is out there. Okay? But he said, let's go on. Now, let's keep reading here in Ephesians. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a, here's that word again, perfect man. Literally meaning a mature, complete person. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what's the measuring stick here to call you, as the King James uses the word perfect, or to call you mature? The measuring stick, the measuring life is that of Jesus. He is the perfect one. He is the complete one. He is the mature one, and we are to come up to his fullness. Glory to God. Verse 14, that we henceforth are no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, Pastor Craig mentioned this morning about, you know, the devil wants to deceive us. He wants to get us off and get things and bombard our thinking with things opposite from the Word of God. But he said, tossed to and fro, carried about. I'll never forget when I was in fourth grade in school there in Chatham, Illinois. And they were having some discussions there. And Chatham is about 5 miles south of Springfield, Illinois, which is the state capital. And they were having some discussions about, in the government, about building a convention center downtown in Springfield. Prairie Capital Convention Center ended up being there. And they were talking about that and having different things of that sort. And, of course, it was going to take taxpayers' dollars, you know, and so all that kind of thing. So that was that debate. And I remember in fourth grade, my teacher, we had a discussion one day in class. And, you know, looking back at it, I probably changed my opinion 5-6 times during the discussion, just depending on who just made their point. Well, I was a child. Tossed to and fro by every wind. And every time someone spoke, that was a new wind blew me over to their side. See, the immature are easily blown off course. But as we stay in these things in the Word and we grow in the Word of God, we're able to stay sure. And he said, let's don't be children anymore. Let's don't be easily swayed by every wind of doctrine. Now, here's the thing. Listen, just because it sounds good doesn't mean it's God's word. And again, just because I say it doesn't make it God's word. Please see it in the Word of God. Amen. You know. Now, I thank God, you know, that none of us are trying to ever deceive anybody. But we know in part and we see in part. Paul said, if Paul said that, then I'm going to have to say it. I know in part, I see in part, I prophesy in part. Praise the Lord. But when that which is perfect is come, when we're there, we'll know even as we're known. But we're not there yet. And I haven't arrived yet. You remember when Paul told the Philippians, he said, I'm pressing on. How many of you are pressing on? Amen. See, we're going on here. Well, don't be no more children. Now, verse 15, how are we going to do that? But speaking the truth, that's the Word of God, in love. May grow up. I never read that, but I always give everybody an opportunity. Look at the person next to you and tell them to grow up. Winnie, did you tell Tracy? Did you tell him again for me? Oh, we love Tracy. But grow up into him, notice this, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, wouldn't it be sad if your head grew but your body never grew in relationship to it? And that's what he said here. Grow up into him, into the head, which is Christ. Okay? And so that's what we're in fullness. Now, he didn't say here, you know, I know in my own life, you know, there's some areas of the Word of God I'm stronger in than I am in other areas. Amen? But he didn't say, well, it's okay, be strong here, but not over here. No, he said, in all these things. Grow up, speak the truth in love. Grow up in him into all things, not just some things. Now, in order to do that, I'm going to tell you this right now. You're going to have to decide right now, I am unoffendable. You cannot offend me. I just have to make that decision ahead of time. You cannot offend me. I don't know how many people get offended at the preacher because the preacher tells them what the Bible says. You know, we had a famous case here just not long ago up at Oklahoma Wesleyan where at the chapel service up there, somebody spoke on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and our need to love other people like that says that God loves us. We should love others that way. And a student came to President Piper up there and said, I'm offended. I think you ought to, you know, do something and take. I'm offended because they inferred that I'm not walking in love as I should. That offends me. Dr. Piper wrote the famous blog and said, you know, he wrote a blog about it that this is a university, not a daycare. And we're not here to coddle you. We're not here to pat you on the back and say, it's okay, honey, stay ignorant. See, that's not love. Well, I'll tell you what, love will get right in your face with the truth. Yes. But yes. It'll do it in a way that helps you. Yeah. Amen. If you're unoffendable. Amen. Do you remember what the Bible says about Jesus being the cornerstone? To some folks, it's the rock of offense. In other words, that rock's falling on them and crushing them. But to others, it's the cornerstone. It's what we step on to the foundation of our new life. That same rock. That same rock, that same gospel, that same truth. To some, it sets them free. To others, it crushes them. Well, whose decision is that? That's my decision. That's your decision. I'm going to let this word be my foundation. I'm not going to let it. It's not going to crush me. How many of you know that's not God's intent anyway, to crush us? It's his intent that we take what the Word of God says and grow. So he says, so we may grow, that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Say all things. It talks about him which is the head, even Christ. And in Ephesians, as you read that, go back to chapter 1, you can read about he's the head, we are the body. Now verse 16, from whom or from that head, the head, everything flows down in a body. You know, the head's the is the control center of the body, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now he's talking, do you get the idea? He's talking about a strong body here. Now, in order for that to be the case, then each part, he says there, he breaks it down and says two things. He talks about every joint in your body. And he talks about the fitly joined together, that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. So he talks about every joint and every part of your body being strong and not decreasing. Not causing the body to decrease or taking away, but every joint and every part is adding to the body, making increase in the body. Now see, that happens as we become mature and complete. Now, listen, there's no condemnation to them in Christ. So wherever you are, message is not about condemning you where you are. This message is about wherever you are, let's go on. Let's go on. Amen? And see, that's the great thing about the body of Christ, is that as we as we see our brother or sister stumble. You know, unfortunately, you know, the world teaches us, and we've kind of brought it over to the body of Christ, when you see somebody stumble, make sure you kick them so they stay down. But in the body of Christ, we don't act that way. Right? I didn't turn over Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now notice, what happens if you see your brother stumble, get overtaken in a fault? What are we to do? Restore them. Now, probably I had seen this verse for years, and I was listening to somebody preach one time, and they brought this part out, and I hadn't even seen it. It's there all the time. Maybe the issue is that we aren't spiritual. Well, listen, if you're kicking down instead of lifting up, I can tell you right now, you're not spiritual. In that moment, at least. And I'm pointing just as many fingers as I'm pointing more fingers at me than I am at you, okay? So don't. If you see your brother stumble, the Bible talks about, help him. See, that's part of us making increase of the body. Making increase of the body. And it's going on. I think it's so clear that without us loving one another. In fact, go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you've been part of this church at any time at all, and if those of you that are here coming in for school, you're going to hear it in school, you're going to hear it at this church, you've been taught that you've got a calling on your life. Doesn't necessarily mean for the pulpit, but you've got a calling and you've got the gifts of God to fulfill that calling on your life. God has called every one of us to the ministry, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ in some capacity. Amen. All right? And here in Ephesians 4, he starts talking about that calling. Verse 1, I beseech you, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. I wish it said vacation. But it says vocation. I felt called to a vacation before. But walk worthy of the vocation. There's the exact same word as the word called. So walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. But then notice what he says. He starts to tell us how to do it. With all lowliness and meekness, that's humility, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I like one translation that says making an allowances for others in love. Let me say it in a newer way. Cut people some slack. In love. You see, if I'm going to fulfill my calling, you see, I can't put myself, I've got to keep my humility. I've got to keep, you know, making sure that I'm being a part of the answer and helping people. See, speaking that truth in love, cutting people some slack. Now that doesn't mean, listen, that love. Some people kind of get the idea with love that there's never any consequence to actions because of God's love. No, there's consequence to actions sometimes. But love will help the person do whatever it takes to get them to a place of restoration. Right? And help them. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there in Galatians 6, 1, he said something there, and that came up, and I want to touch on it, then we'll go on and finish up here. He said, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, humility, lest you also be tempted. It's far enough away now. Marvin and I had a fellow that went to, he was a first year student with he and I in 82, 83 here at Rhema. And one day, and I remember, Brother Hagin had to get up and he announced that, and Brother Hagin was there, and then they had announced that there had been someone that had lived in student housing that had gotten arrested for child molestation over there. One of our fellow, I think it was a fellow student. And they were no longer be a student, and you know, and the seriousness of that. This young man, a little bit younger than I am, at that, you know, still is, but at that time, this young man got so angry. How could a Christian do something like that? I just can't believe, you know. He got so mad that God, at the end of, you know, of the share and praise time, we called it, it was like exaltation. But at the end of that time, got up and just left, went back. He also lived in student housing, went back over to student housing, didn't even come to third hour class, just so mad. So mad. And said, really? He said, I didn't really pay attention to much else the rest of the year. Finished out first year. I heard it. He told me face to face his own testimony years later. He said, brother, I never let that go. He said, I never would forgive that person for that. He said, you know, and you know, I spent 15 years in a federal penitentiary for child molestation. He said, I'm safe, spirit filled, but I wouldn't forgive him. And I held it to myself. And I was tempted and I fell for it. It's important stuff. I mean, I could tell you, actually could tell you story after story after story along this line, but I'm not going to. Amen. Boy, I didn't plan on get off on that. That's not a very good place to end. We better find a better place to end on that. Go to John's Gospel. Chapter 3, verse 16. No, not there. John chapter 20. You know, our tendency is to judge others by what they do and ourselves by what we intended to do. And we hold other people accountable for the things we don't hold ourselves accountable to sometimes. And that's just not God's way. Amen. Amen. And there are consequences to actions, but yet we need to walk in love towards people, help people, restore people, lift people up, and help them. Work the plan. Help them out. Sometimes it takes some time. You know, most folks just don't grow up, just don't all of a sudden one day decide to do something wrong. It's been a pattern of thinking that's led them. It's been choices over the years that's led them to that place. And so you have to take time. Now, I know we think sometimes, and because we believe in miracles, right? But there's some things you can't cast out or lay hands on and fix. Thinking, for instance. I can't lay my hands on you and renew your mind. I wish I could. If I could do that for you, I'd do it to me first. Right? I'd lay my hands on myself. Right, here in John 20, Jesus said in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, it appears there, if you're not careful, you think that, well, Jesus has given a man the ability to forgive someone's sin or to not forgive their sin. And then if you don't forgive them, God won't forgive them either. That's not what he said here, folks, okay? Jesus already died, went to the cross. Their sins are forgiven. No matter what you say about it, God has already forgiven them. Now, that doesn't mean that they're living right or that they've partaken of it, but that as far as God's concerned, he forgave them. So But there is something here. As you read this in some other translations, you get that. Where does that, how does that sin get retained? It can retain itself. I can keep it on me. I can hold it to myself. And that's a dangerous thing. Brother Hagin said for years, be quick to forgive. Quick to repent. Quick to forgive. Right? That's what I said. Sometimes you just have to make the decision. Today, I'm not. You cannot offend me. No one can offend me today. Now, how many of you work at a, you know, maybe you don't want to raise your hand, without raising your hand. Some of you, you might work someplace that it's a given. There's somebody's going to offend you today. I mean, that's just the way, you know. It just goes in some places. But you know what? You don't have to take hold of that offense. Right? You know, it's a trap. It's a snare. Offense is a snare. Years ago, when they were trying to catch monkeys in Africa, they put a cage out, and they would put a trap. They'd put bait in the cage, and they'd attach it to a stick. And the monkey wanted what was in the cage, wanted that treat, that food there. They'd come and they'd take hold of that stick and try to, and the stick, there was no way to get the stick out. There was a door, but was locked. And there was no way to get the stick out. And they found out that the monkey would stay there. And even when the person, the trapper came to get them, the monkey was still staying there trying, they would look at the trapper and still try to get that stick out. And the trapper would just catch the monkey. Because why? They wouldn't let go of the trap. Now, if the monkey let go, there's no way. You and I, we cannot. There's no one in here could run down a monkey. They're gone. Right? You couldn't catch them. But they're just going over throwing a bag over them. Because they wouldn't let go. Well, that's the same way offense is. It's what we won't let go that's holding us there. That's allowing us to be captured, if you will. But see, here, let me bring it back. Let's go on. Let's go on. Go on from all the offense. Amen. Whatever, if you're offended in here tonight, go on from it. In fact, everybody close your eyes right now. Everybody close your eyes right now. If you know there's still something that you haven't let go, you haven't forgiven somebody. Now, I'm not going to have you come up here. Nobody's looking around. I want you to raise your hand right now. There's something you need to forgive. Okay, got hands all over. All right. Now, some folks might even be offended at God. You were believing God for something that didn't happen, and you actually got offended at God. You really are mad about it because you don't think God did what you wanted him to do. Here's what I want you to do. All right. I want everyone in here, in that sense, okay, especially if you raise your hand, I want you to hold your hands together out in front of you like a cup, almost like you've cupped them together. And I want you to place that person and that action, that event that happened in your life, I want you to place it in your hands right there. I want you to place it right there. Okay, you got it there? All right, now, in just a moment, I'm going to say in the name of Jesus, let it go. And when I do that, I want you to throw it up, open up, throw it. Your hands up in the sky, let that loose, let that go away, and just lift your hands there and praise God. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus, let that offense go right now. Let it go in Jesus' name. Father, you see these hands, you see, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Power of God's in this place right now. You got your hands up there. Just receive. Some of you that have your hands up, you just let that go. Your healing's taking place in your body right now. Just receive it. Just receive it. See, you've got to go on. You've got to go on. You've got to let these things go. You've got to let that offense, that hurt go. Let it go and go on. Go on into the love of God. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Yeah, they did you wrong, but you can't hold that against them. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. You can't live in offense. Don't hold on to the trap. Let the snare go. Father, we've released it to you. Oh, Father. Thank you so much for what Pastor Craig preached this morning, Father God, about forgiveness. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We give you glory tonight. Oh, we forgive that person we thought was our friend that did us wrong. We forgive him. Let him go. Oh, we let him go. We let it go, Lord. That one we'd given our heart to that took our heart and broke it, we let him go. Folks, the Bible says Jesus was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. Right now, your heart is being healed right now. That brokenheartedness from that offense that took place in your life, it's being healed right now. It's being restored. You can go on now. You can go on now. You can go on. Let God work with you. Hallelujah. That teacher who you respected that told you you'd never make it, let it go. Let it go. God said you can do all things through him. He strengthens you through Christ. That coach who cut you from the team, let it go. Let it go. Maybe your parent or someone you really looked up to told you you'd never amount to anything. Let it go. Let it go. Go on. Go on to completeness and fullness in Christ. Grow up into him in all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Whew, glory to God. Amen. 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 Praise you, Father, that power and anointing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Some of you are going to find a new ability to receive love. You've closed yourself off because of past hurt, but now, after tonight, you're going to have a new ability to receive love. The love of God and the love of God through people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Could you all stand with us, if you would, please? Connection team, if you find our first-time guests that are here tonight, take them to that special place to receive a gift from behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glad that they're here tonight. You're here tonight. If you're here for the very first time, thank you for being here. Ladies, don't forget, you can sign up tonight after service for the Kindle the Flame. And if you're here and you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, ladies on my right, your left, the men on my left and your right, come on down. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God and in the name of Jesus, because that brings results. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, shake hands with two or three people and tell them, I'm going to go on, and you can be dismissed tonight. God bless you.